Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
If our ushers could come forward this time, and we're going to be referring to this, and I give this to you, number one, so that you have the word, but number two, so you can be praying about it and asking God to accomplish this in our body, because I believe that God has something that he wants to do. And I just want us to read this together. It says, "My children, I call you a step higher. And this is going to happen in my unity. I call you to unity in a new way. I call you to stand alongside of each other, shoulder to shoulder. Don't leave your spot. Don't believe or think that someone else can fill your shoes. I need each of you. You are my precious individuals. You may feel that you will be lost by being in an army, but that is not true. I have you on my roster. I have you in my retirement program. I know all about you. I will watch over you, but as you work together and as you unify in what I have called you to do, you will see much greater things. You will see the power that can come through unity. So I call you to lock on one another. I call you to hug one another, to stand alongside of each other and watch your back. Watch each other's back. Worship me together and work together and see what I will do. See what I will do if you will stand together." You know, as I look at this, that very first line, God is giving us a challenge. He says, "I call you a step higher." Now, I don't know about you, but a step higher usually means that I need to take my life to the next level. Isn't that what that means? You're going to a step higher, your life goes to the next level. God is calling us as a church to go to the next level. In these next few weeks, as we talk about world-shaking churches, we're going to be looking at what are the things we need to do to go a step higher, to be a world-shaking church, to be world-shaking Christians. Because only as you and I become world-shaking Christians do we become world-shaking churches. You see, Jesus loves the church. How many know that? The church is his bride. He gave his life for her, the church. He loves the church, but it's not just, "Oh, I love you so much, and it's a lovey-dovey club, bless me." He wants us also, it also says that we are his body. And he is the head of the body. And there is no neck that turns the head. How many of you hear that? You know, the husband's the head of the home and the wife is the neck that turns the head. That might be true for some situations, but that's not true in the church. There is no neck that turns the head, the Lord Jesus. As his body, we are to surrender ourselves and to do the mission, accomplish the mission that he has in store for us. You see, the church is not a building. A lot of times we say, "I'm going to church," and we think of a building, or we think of a service, a church service, or we think of the pastors because the church needs to do something. We really mean, well, Pastor Craig and Pastor Todd need to do something. But the church is not pastors. It's not a service. It's not a building. The church is people. All those who are saved are part of the church, part of the redeemed community, the bride of Christ, the body of Christ, that God is putting together as an army. This is significant, friends. God is raising up an army. And this morning, we're going to look at the book of Acts. We're going to see three different kinds of churches, three different kinds of Christians. We've got some illustrations up here. We're going to be illustrating it this morning. But I want us to look at the book of Acts today. We're going to start in Acts 13 and then go to Acts 17, because only when we discover what these three kinds of churches are and three kinds of Christians, only then can we please Jesus, because only one church pleases Jesus. Let's pick it up in Acts 13.
Acts 13, verses 1 through 4. It says, "Now In the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them." Then, having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. In chapter 17, verses 2 through 6, it says, "Then Paul, as his custom was, went to them, and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, 'This Jesus, whom I preach to you, is the Christ.' And some of them were persuaded, and a great multitude, the devout Greeks, and not a few of the leading women joined Paul and Silas. But the Jews, who were not persuaded, becoming envious, took some of the evil men from the marketplace, and gathering a mob, set all the city in an uproar, and attacked the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out, 'These who have turned the world upside down have come here too.'"
The first kind of church that we see in the book of Acts is the world-shaking church. This church, when it gets into action, all heaven breaks loose. And hell begins to quake in the nether regions when this church picks up the mission of its Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, God has called you and I to be part of the world-shaking church movement. And that was a good place for an amen. You see, we serve Jesus, who is the star. It's not us who's the star. It's Jesus who's the star. Mike, you have a great helmet here. I want to take this. I mean, this is a great hard hat here. What is Jesus' mission that we're supposed to fill? I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah 61, because when Jesus first began his ministry, and you read about this in Luke chapter 4, when Jesus first began his ministry, he opened up the Scriptures to Isaiah 61, and he began to read from them. And this is what he said. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Friends, sin has people in a prison. It has them locked up. They don't realize that God wants to set them free. They don't realize that the addictions that they've bought into, their selfishness, their greed, their unforgiveness, the lust, whatever it might be, it does not provide happiness, and they are in a prison. That's what it talks about here. Jesus came to set the captives free. I have up here a concrete block, and this symbolizes the prison that people are in. But how many know God wants to do a Holy Ghost jailbreak? Amen? Now, there are two things that you need for a Holy Ghost jailbreak. Two things for us to accomplish the mission of Jesus to set people free. The first one, and by the way, you can't have one without the other. Let me ask you this. What's more important, the left wing or the right wing of an airplane? How many think the left wing? How many think the right wing? We got a few on the right here. Yeah, they're not left wing. They think the right wing. No, pun intended. How many think you need both if you're going to fly? There are two things you need if you are going to be a world-shaking church. And the first one is the power of the Holy Spirit. And the second one is a proper structure and ministry focus. You can see this both in Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel 37, it's the vision of the dry bones. This isn't in the notes, by the way. Ezekiel 37, the vision of the dry bones, and there are two prophecies that are given. First, there is a prophecy to the bones that are dead. They needed to come together in the form of body in a structure. And after you have the structure, then there's a prophecy to the wind, and the wind comes and it gives life and breath. You need the structure, you need the spirit to do both. You see, right up here, I have a structure, a tool that can break the prison down. But if I don't have the power of the Holy Spirit, well, I'm getting a little bit of dust, but boy, this is kind of tough. I'm going to be here a while to break this up. And there are some people that say, you just need the right structure and it works. There's other people that say, oh, all you need is the Holy Spirit. All you need is a move of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All you need is a move of God. Yeah. Well, you need a right structure. And here's the thing. There's a lot of different structures churches have. Some churches have what you might call a toaster structure. You see, we are all about love and being nice and warm and just have a place where everybody feels love. Oh, this is a great church. We just love. We're so friendly. We're so nice. Now, a toaster works great for toast, but how many know a toaster doesn't do much to break you out of prison, huh? I mean, look, what is the toaster accomplishing? Absolutely not. I mean, you can warm your hands. Oh, yeah, this feels good. This is nice and warm, yeah. But we, the toaster structure of a church saying, we just need a nice, warm church where we love everybody, we're friendly, everybody knows your name, they're always glad you came, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, yeah. We can't just have a Cheers church, friend. There are some churches, they're kind of set up like this mixer. You see, there is a whole lot of activity, many programs and many services and many groups going on. So much that people feel we're really doing something. Yeah, we're going in circles. And, oh, we're staying busy. Boy, we're so busy going to church and doing this and doing that. But are we really accomplishing the mission of setting people free? You see, church isn't just about having a nice place to come or being busy coming to church and doing a lot of activity. God has a mission for you and I, but we need to structure our lives in a way so that we're not so busy. Oh yeah, this would do it. I worked on this week. Everything worked during the week when I practiced it. See, this is the devil. He doesn't want this to happen. Here we go. See, sometimes it takes a while for you to get connection with the Holy Spirit. Amen? How many know you have to pray through sometimes, huh? You just don't reach God. It's fasting and prayer. I mean, when you look at the church of Acts, the church that shook the world and turned it upside down, what was Barnabas and Saul and the whole church doing? Fasting and praying. You see, we have lost the importance of the corporate prayer meeting in church. You call a prayer meeting, and that's the smallest crowd you get. You call a potluck or a breakfast, that's the biggest crowd you get. Now, we want you to come to the men's and ladies' breakfast this week, okay? God is going to lead us, the board and I, we're going into a retreat this summer because, friends, there's some things we need to do to get our structure in line to be a world-shaking church. And one of those is to establish corporate prayer, and we need to be a body that prays because the church that prays together shakes the world together. And as you and I pray, and as you and I say, we're not too busy, And as we begin to form our ministries, not just around activity, but about reaching the lost, about making an impact on the community, and we say we're going to get involved in the kingdom, you and I are going to get involved in ministry, what happens? You break people out of prison. And we need to keep, hallelujah, great, we're done. You know what? This one's free, but this one's not. So we got to keep going. We got to keep going until Jesus comes to set the world free. Because Jesus did not come for you and I to have a Bless Me Club. He did not come for us to be a church of 200 people. He came that all the world may know him, and we need to keep about his mission until he returns. That's the first kind of church that we need to be, as a world-shaking church. There's a second kind of church. I want you to flip to Acts chapter 1. Verse 8, then we're going to look at Acts chapter 2, verse 41, and Acts 8, 1. So 1, 8, and 8, 1 at the end, and then 2, 41. Let's take a look at those passages this morning.
We'll start with Acts 1, 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. And then over in Acts 2, verse 41 through 47, it says, then those who gladly received the word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together, and all had all things in common. And they sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. And then in Acts 8:1. Now Saul was consenting to his death. And that at that time a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria.
The second kind of church that we see here in the book of Acts is the caretaker church. See, the caretaker church says, oh, by the way, I got off track in the notes. You say the church that's a world changer church is a church as a force. It's a church as a force. But here, the caretaker church is the church is a field. Okay, we have a field, and only, it's like a garden, only what's in the four walls of the garden, the four walls of the church, that's what we take care of. And so we pull out the bad things that need to be pulled out, need to get rid of the weeds and clean up the rubbish. We need to remove, sometimes things are a little bit bigger than just a simple weed to pull. Get that out of here, and you know, we just begin to cultivate, and we take some seed, and we plant it, and you know, in the caretaker church, oh, we have such a nice church. We have such nice programs, and oh, it's kind of like the toaster, you know, everybody just loves everyone. We got a good thing going on, and it's us four and no more, and oh, we just love what's going on in our church. Never mind the people that are lost, the people that are outside of the four walls of the church. Because for the caretaker church, church is about what makes us feel good. Sometimes you hear caretaker statements like, why do we give to missions? We have enough need right here in Casper itself. Why should we give to missions? Why should we go there? We need to stay here and focus on us. Or sometimes you hear people say, what are those kind of people doing coming here? You know, this church is for people of our kind, not that kind. You know what's interesting? When you look in Acts chapter 13, you ever sometimes read something and you wonder, why did God put that in the Bible? Take a look at Acts chapter 13 as you look at the groundbreaker, or the world shaker church. It says there were certain prophets and teachers. There was Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. It lists the leaders of the church. This church not only had the power of God, but they had a multi-ethnic leadership group because Antioch was a multi-ethnic town. It was a cosmopolitan town. They had Barnabas. Barnabas was a Jew who grew up in Cyprus, a Gentile colony. And so Barnabas knew what it was like to be the odd man out. You could say it was like he was a white growing up in a black neighborhood, or he was a black growing up in an Asian neighborhood. He knew what it was like to be the outsider. You then have a guy called Niger, which means black. He was a black African. Lucius is from Cyrene, a North African country. And so they're reaching that dynamic. You have Manaen, who grew up with Herod. He was of the upper crest. He knew how to relate with royalty, with people of the upper culture. You see, the church of Antioch was a church that went beyond the walls of themselves and what was comfortable. And they reached their entire community with the gospel. And it was this multi-ethnic focus that Paul and Barnabas were released to, and they went to the Gentiles, and how many are glad that happened? Amen. All of us Gentiles here say thank you, Jesus, for that. But the Antioch church was a world-shaking church because they weren't confined by their own kind, by their own paradigm. Jerusalem started out as a world-shaking church. Thousands. It is estimated that about 15 to 20,000 people were part of the Church of Jerusalem. But what does Acts 1:8 say? You'll receive power to be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. Do you realize the Jerusalem church stopped at the first one? They never got outside of themselves. Only in Acts 8:1, when God sent persecution, did they go to Judea and Samaria. Only when there was problems and they were running for their life. It's kind of funny. Paul was even spreading the gospel then. God used him before he was saved and after he was saved to spread the gospel. But you see, the Church of Jerusalem, something happened. You can start out as a world-shaking church, and most church plants do, but over time, man, look at this nice building we have. Look at the great programs we have. Look at all the activities we have going on. But we're just going around in circles and we forget the purpose that Jesus gave to us. We see Christians that fall into the caretaker mentality. They say, you know what? I am just too busy to get involved in ministry. Let someone else help in the food pantry. Let someone else work in kids' church. Someone else in the nursery. Because, you know, I am special. Oh, my time is so precious. I have so much to do, way more to do than anybody else. Friends, when we're only caring about our own life, when we're only worried about, oh man, my kids need to be in all these sports or all this music to get scholarships for college, or I got to work this much because, and I don't have any time for God, and I got to look out for my career, I got to look out for my business, or we're just about our life and ourselves. And we're not looking beyond ourselves. We've become caretakers and we're missing the mission that Jesus died for. He didn't die just so that I can have abundant life and I can keep it to myself. He died so that I could have rivers of living water, and as those rivers flow out, they touch the people in my neighborhood, the people at the grocery store, the people at work, my classmates in school. It touches my church family around. I'm not so busy with my life that I can't make an eternal impact of going and making disciples. Are you a caretaker this morning? So wrapped up in life, you don't have time for God to say, hey, call this person, talk to this person, pray for this person. Are we a caretaker church so busy with our little groups and our little gatherings that we don't have time to say, I want to make a dent in darkness? I want to bust people out of prison and set them free and give them the same freedom I have? You see, it's a choice we make, and we can go back and forth between these three types of churches very easily without realizing it. We can fall into complacency. We can lose our first love. In Revelation, the church of Ephesus, it says, I know your works. You're hardworking. You have pure doctrine. But you've left your first love, and we've left his mission. Are we caretakers or world shakers? Jesus wants us to make an impact in society around us. I want you now to flip to Acts chapter 4, verse 1. We're going to take a look at the last kind of church that's in the book of Acts, and it's made up of the Pharisees and the religious leaders of the day.
All right, Acts 4, 1 through 6, and then 16 through 18. Now as they spoke to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them. Being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead, and they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. And it came to pass on the next day that their rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together in Jerusalem. Let's skip over to verse 16. And the leaders said, what shall we do to these men, Peter and John? For indeed, that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them, that from now on they speak to no man in this name. So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus.
The last kind of church we see is the faker church. The faker church. The faker church wears masks. See, on the outside, we look smiley. Everything's good. We're the Pharisees. Oh, yeah, we love God. We love Him. But don't you dare get in our way or else. You see, the fakers wear masks. And they steal your glasses when you take them off. The fakers terminate people. This is Arnold. My name's Arnold. Hasta la vista, baby. You get in my way, I'm going to take you out. Yeah, faker church messes everything up, doesn't it? And there are a lot of people that go around wearing masks in the church. Some aren't as overtly mean. You see, there are some people, they're wearing masks because they've went through pain and hurt, and they're carrying around baggage, and they're not willing to take the mask off and say, I've been hurt, I've been wounded, and I need Jesus to heal me and make me well. And they're the kind of people that you just bump up against them and You ever meet someone like that? I mean, it's not like you did anything that much to them, but you just got a rise out of them. It's kind of like when you have a sliver and it's festering and it never comes out and it brushes up against something. Woo, you get a reaction. When you have unresolved issues in your life that you don't deal with, it doesn't take much to set you off. And Jesus wants you to know he can break you out of the prison of the pain, out of the hurt, out of the bitterness, the insecurity, the worry, the fear, whatever it is. Jesus can set you free. Take off the mask that's been covering your pain and let him heal you. The mask we see the Pharisees wearing, Jesus talks about it in Matthew 22. He says, you guys look good on the outside, but in the inside, you're dead men's bones. On the outside, you look like you're full of life of God, but inside, there's death, there's decay, there's corruption. And there are some people, they come to church, but they harbor secret sin in their life, and they're playing games with God. And that's a mask we need to take off. There are some of us in some churches, they like to be in control. They like to call the shots and be the head of the church or the head of their ministry and not let Jesus be in charge. And if someone else comes in, oh wow, look out. You're in trouble. God wants us to put our arms away. He wants us to take off our own self-righteousness, our judgmentalism that we cover up and we try to look so good so that we accept everybody no matter what they've done and that we don't wear masks. We are people that are loving and life-giving because that's what Jesus has called us to be. I'm going to close with the story of Mahatma Gandhi. Many of us know him as the great Hindu leader, but what many people don't realize is that when he was a student, he studied the Bible. And as he went through the Bible, as he read the Gospels, he seriously considered turning to Christianity. And one day he decided to attend a service at a nearby church and then to talk to the pastor afterwards about becoming a Christian because he really thought that the teachings of Jesus held the answers to the caste system that divided the people of India. And Gandhi walks into the church and there was an usher there, and this usher says to him, "Why don't you go worship with people of your own kind?" Gandhi turned around and walked out, and he said, "I guess Christians have their caste system also." And as a result, he stayed a Hindu, and to my knowledge, never received Christ. And today, Gandhi is in hell because one usher wasn't fulfilling the mission of Jesus. He was wearing masks. He was in control, and I don't want any outsider to come in. And you think about what would have happened if Gandhi became a believer. Can you imagine the evangelist he would have been for Jesus? It would have been incredible. Can you imagine the revival that could have taken place in India that would have shaken the prisons that people are in, that would have saved those mothers from throwing their little babies into the river, thinking that it would please the gods, and if they did this, it would make them happy. Friends, Jesus is calling us to quit playing games, not to be satisfied with our field, not to be a farce in the community because we have our own agenda, but instead we are to be a force, a life-giving force that tears down the prisons that people are in and they maybe don't even know it. I am calling you a step higher to be an army. I can speak to the bones and they will come up and I will breathe the Spirit in them. Don't be afraid that you'll be lost in the army. If you get together in unity, you will see what I can do in the power of unity. That is the word God has spoken to us. But it takes a deliberate sacrifice for me every day to be a world shaker. Because in my life, it is so easy to get caught up in taking care of myself or sometimes not dealing with the issues that I need to deal with, and I wear the masks. And Jesus says, take your masks off, be real with me, flow in the power of my Spirit, take up my mission. Where are you at this morning? Are you a faker? Are you a caretaker? Or are you a world shaker? In a few moments, we're going to go to prayer. Our board and leaders are going to come down as we sing a song. And if you want prayer, we're going to be here to pray for you. But I just want to challenge you. Ask yourself, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me today? What are you saying to me? Have I just had a caretaker mentality? I've been too busy with my life. Has he showed you any pain in your life you need to deal with? Take the mask off. Friends, Jesus wants to set you free. Maybe some of you have sin in your life. Maybe you're here and you don't know Jesus as your Savior. You've been calling the shots. Friends, Jesus wants to save you. Just turn from your sin, turn to Him, surrender your life, and you can have a new life with Him today. I don't know about you, but I want to be a world shaker. I want God to speak to me. I want God to move in our church. I want to see drug addicts set free. I want to see marriages that are on the verge of breaking up come back together. Jesus reunite them. I want to see teenagers in rebellion to their parents and to God come out of that, come out of sex, come out of alcohol. They turn their life over to God and they become evangelists. Some as evangelists as lawyers. Yeah, God can use lawyers. Some as evangelists as doctors. Some as gas station clerks and oil rig workers. And some as missionaries and pastors and evangelists. God wants to call you and I. He called Barnabas and Saul when they were adults. What does Jesus want to do in your life? Are you willing to be a world shaker? It starts today. I want you to stand on your feet this morning. Father God, speak to us with your Holy Spirit right now. Move on our lives. God, remove anything that needs removing. Pour in anything that needs to be poured in. Help us to surrender it all to you. Have your way in us. As we sing this song, I invite you to find a place of prayer, maybe at your seat or at this altar. And just say, Lord, make me a world shaker. If you need specific prayer for anything, if you're receiving Jesus as your Savior today, leaders, board, come down right now. We want to pray with you. We have a book we'd like to give you to help in that relationship. But as we sing this, if you want prayer, I want you to make your way out and come.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us CasperFaith@gmail.com or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.